Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. You know, we try and do series here on Issues Etc. because we like to take the big subjects and break them down into little pieces. And as we take it, you know, if you're going to eat an elephant, you should take it one bite at a time rather than swallow the whole thing. And the Reformation is one of those subjects that has to be, at some point, taken one bite at a time, whether you do the solas of the Reformation or, in the case of the series we begin today, a seven-part weekly series with Pastor Paul McCain on the Lutheran Confessions. I like to think of it as the documentation, the charter of the Reformation, where you really find out what the Reformation was all about, what was happening, and not only what were the men who were we call the Reformers were doing and saying, but why they said the things they did and why they both taught and rejected the teachings that they taught and the teachings that they rejected. We're going to do that in this series with Pastor Paul McCain. You can join us, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or you can email us here in the studio on this Monday, September the 29th, talkback@issuesetc.org. Pastor Paul McCain is a regular guest. He's publisher and executive director of the editorial department at Concordia Publishing House. He's general editor of Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions. Paul, welcome back.
Todd, it is fantastic to be here.
You like our digs?
You know, they are beautiful, but getting down to them, that, you know, 15-story climb beneath the sub-basement, down those stairs, and then the other 10 floors on the elevator, and then that big search I had, that was kind of, you know, rigorous.
You like the body cavity search and all that kind of stuff?
That was a little uncomfortable.
We don't expect people to like that, but the retina scans and
the fingerprinting, you know.
And then the last thing you have to pass through is about a foot-thick steel door that's only Craig knows I don't even know the code. Only Craig knows the code into this place, and finally you arrive at the bunker. It takes me a long time just to get home every night.
That's awesome.
Getting out of here is a chore in and of itself. Someone looks back at these documents. They are historical. They are very interesting. They tell us a lot about what was going on, at least in Germany in the 16th century. But how could these documents, the Lutheran Confessions, written 500 years ago on a completely different continent by people who didn't even speak our language, how could they possibly be relevant to us today?
Well, this is the interesting thing. I hear from so many people who have spent time with the Lutheran Confessions, particularly in the new edition we did. And the one comment I hear over and over again is, Pastor, these are so relevant. It sounds like they were written yesterday. And I said, well, why do you think that is? And they paused for a moment and they said, well, it's because of Jesus. And I say, you've got it. Exactly. It is a beating heart of the gospel that animates this entire book, the Book of Concord.
So the gospel, whether it was 500 years ago or today, the way that these reformers addressed the issues surrounding the gospel still make a difference today?
Absolutely. I like to say about the Book of Concord, the reason it's so relevant today is because it's personal, it's practical, and it's very pastoral. It speaks to the heart of people to this very day because it talks about their sin, their need for a Savior, and the love of God in Jesus Christ and all that means for them.
What are the Lutheran Confessions? What are we looking at when we look at over 1,000 pages, mm-hmm. if you include all the documentation that goes with it, the introductions and everything.
Right.
What is this thing, the Book of Concord?
Yes, the Book of Concord. The word Concord means harmony, literally from two words, which means with one heart. This is the book that defines the beating heart of the Lutheran Reformation and the Lutheran Church ever since. It is a unique collection of statements of faith, formal, official statements of faith. And unlike other denominations in Protestantism, we have the luxury of having a single book of our confessions. The Reformed have multiple books from multiple times. This book is the gathering of all the statements of faith written between 1529 up until 1577, and they define us as Lutherans to this day.
Someone says, I've got my Bible, and there are mm-hmm. lots of references to the Bible in these mm-hmm. Lutheran confessions. I know they were all sola scriptura people back in those days. So why do we need a confession if we have the Bible?
God's word brings forth from our lips a confession. You know, St. John the Baptist, it says about him in the first chapters of John that he confessed and denied not. And so when the Lord speaks to us, he moves us to speak back to him the very words he's given us. And that's what confession is all about. This is our joyful response to the gospel of Jesus Christ and to his word.
They do require a little bit of understanding of the historical context mm-hmm. because, of course, when you're writing something at your time, you don't necessarily think that someone 500 years mm-hmm. from now will not understand who this guy was or that guy was or this issue was or what this group taught. So what's the best way to orient yourself historically and culturally before you dive into something like the Lutheran Confession?
Familiarizing yourself with the events of the 16th century is very helpful. And this particular edition of the Book of Concord, Concordia, is filled with study notes and introductions to give people a glimpse of the whole context, the greater context of history before, during, and after the Book of Concord. And it's not as complicated as it might sound. And by the way, the people who put this book together knew they were speaking to future generations. And so at the very end of the book, they say, in the sight of God and of all Christendom, the entire Church of Christ, we want to testify to those now living and those who will come after that this declaration is our confession and faith by which we will stand before the judgment seat of God with all confidence. This is bold, bold stuff.
Before we get into the first part of this, which would be the Augsburg Confession, after you get through the creeds, which were affirmed by the confessors, one more question, and that is, were they reinventing the wheel? Were they saying, okay, the church is so irreparably broken that we need to start over from ground zero, from zero point, and redo the whole thing?
Absolutely not. The word is reform, not deform. The word is to reclaim the gospel proclamation, not to destroy what had gone before. The Lutherans are very careful to point out that we are simply maintaining and perpetuating the good old news of the gospel of Jesus Christ as it's been taught and believed and confessed since the very early days of the apostles. Nothing new, but restored, all the darkness taken away, the accretions of error and falsehood that had clung to the gospel during the past previous centuries to the 16th century. This is what we remove so the gospel can come shining through again.
I was in Germany a couple years ago, went through a town called Augsburg. Does it have anything to do with the Augsburg Confession, the first great confession of the Lutheran Confession?
Yes, that's a city in Germany in which at the Diet, the official imperial meeting, the Augsburg Confession was actually read out loud to the Holy Roman Emperor Charles V on June 25th, 1530, hence the Augsburg Confession.
Why did those who delivered this confession, what led them to Augsburg, to the feet of the emperor's throne, to make this confession?
Well, we have to go back in time a little bit. Martin Luther posted the 95 Theses in 1517. By 1521, he had managed to get himself both excommunicated from the church and officially condemned as a criminal. Charles V was there in 1521. By 1530, things had reached a point where Charles was finally willing to say, okay, listen, I know this is of interest to all you Lutheran estates and princes, so come ahead, present your confession of faith. This was their first formal opportunity as Lutheran Christians to say, this is what we believe, teach, and confess.
One of the things that strikes me about the Augsburg Confession, you just jump into the preface of it, and they're addressing the emperor of the Holy Roman Empire. Boy, these guys were not baby boomers. They respected the authority of the emperor, who could have had their heads that day if he really wanted it.
Yes, he could have. In fact, there's a famous story of Margrave of Brandenburg, who was commanded by the emperor to go to the Corpus Christi festival where they would parade the body of Christ around outside. And he said, I would sooner kneel down on this very spot and have my head taken off than to deny the word of God. They realized the power the emperor had. And at that moment, the emperor, in very broken German, said, not cut off head, not cut off head. There was a lot of political pressure on this man to bring these people together. He was facing the Turk encroaching from the east. He was worried about the Pope forming alliances with France. And so he wanted to bring all of his rulers together in Central Europe, particularly in Germany, to get them united and to try to get through these issues.
What were they responding to? I mean, what had been said about their confession of faith, about the preaching in the I guess you could call it by this time the Lutheran lands or the lands of the Reformation, that they felt they needed to respond to and get the emperor's ear?
Interestingly, the most important precipitating event for the precise wording of the Augsburg Confession was a document written by Johann Eck, his 404 articles in which he excoriated all the Protestant reformers, tried to lump them all together, tried to lump Luther in with the radical, wild-eyed Anabaptist movement. And he just spoke all these slanders. And so the Augsburg Confession was immediately responding to Eck's horrible document, which, by the way, is now available on the internet at bookofconcord.org as a source and context document.
You said that they knew they were speaking to posterity. Mm-hmm. Do you think these princes who first came and delivered this Augsburg Confession, we'll get into the content after the break, do you think they understood that they were going to be laying the foundation for the reform of the church itself and for not a whole new direction, but a whole rediscovery of the gospel to so many for so long.
I don't know how far they could look into the future, but I know I am convinced that they realized fully what they were doing was bringing forth the gospel in a new and fresh light again, and they were hoping to reform the church. None of them wanted to be kicked out of the church. None of them wanted to leave the church. It was their church as much as anybody else's, and so they never understood themselves to be revolutionaries, but rather reformers.
Folks, we've posted a link to a website dedicated to the Lutheran Confessions. It's very useful. I use it all the time. It's called Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions. Check it out on the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Click on demand. It's Monday, September the 29th. What kind of questions or comments do you have on the Augsburg Confession? Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE. 877-623-6943, or email us here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Pastor Paul McCain is our guest, publisher, and executive director of the editorial department at Concordia Publishing House, general editor of Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions. 1-877-623-MYIE, or talkback@issuesetc.org.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Ann Simmons, Marianne Dalson, Pastor Mike Grieve, Catherine Schellert, Pastor Bruce Timm, Ron Wolf, Kimberly Garricky, Eugene Schindel Elder, Wanda Gauncey, Joyce Wolf, and Sean Fansteel. Thanks for your support.
We call devotional time in the Schwarz household Jesus time. We use a hymnal, a Bible, the catechism, and a book of prayers. I've always wanted a devotional book with all of these resources. Well, it's coming this fall. It's called Treasury of Daily Prayer. Find out about it on our homepage, issuesetc.org, or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. A family-friendly devotional resource, Treasury of Daily Prayer.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you're interested in hanging around with a bunch of powerful men that further one another's careers, I guess you could meet Fred and Barney down at the Loyal Order of Water Buffalo. Stress is your problem, and those 40, 50 hours a week are killing you, and that cubicle's driving you nuts. Perhaps you should buy Joel Osteen's book and read it. If you're interested in Lutheran doctrine and practice and how we can spread that to our community, check us out, Brothers of John the Steadfast, www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Issues Etc., Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for your support of Issues Etc. You go to our website tonight. I want you to think ahead to Sunday. You know, your church secretary sitting there in the office and she's waiting for stuff to put in the church bulletin. If you don't get it to her early in the week, sometimes it doesn't make it. So go tonight to our website, issuesetc.org. Look for that promote section right near the top. Click on there and you're going to find a kind of a copy and paste paragraph that you can send via email or however you want to, directly to the church secretary or to your pastor and say, would you please put this in Sunday's bulletin? It is a compendium of everything we talk about here on Issues Etc. We change it every week so that you don't have to worry about it. You just go there every week, issuesetc.org, click promote, find the paragraph, send it to your secretary at the church, and find it on Sunday morning in your bulletin. It's a great way to promote Issues Etc. at your church. We're talking about the Book of Concord, the Lutheran Confessions, beginning with the Augsburg Confession, beginning of a seven-part weekly series with Pastor Paul McCain. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or talk back at issuesetc.org. What is the first subject that they deal with in the Augsburg Confession? And should we assume that first is most important for these confessors?
That's an interesting question. Is it the most important? I think they begin in natural order. They begin with God. They move on to sin. And then the three articles that I think are at particularly at the heart of the Lutheran Confessions are 3, 4, and 5. The Son of God, Jesus, what he's done, justification, and then how do we receive the benefits? And that's the article on the ministry, Article 5. It's a beautiful document. If people haven't read it before, they'll be surprised, A, at how short it is. It's not too long. So I think it's very easy to understand. It just lays things out so beautifully and in a very ironic way, which was very intentional. This is not a slugfest at this point. They're not intent on attacking and destroying things. They're trying to show themselves as reasonable men of the church who love the church, who love Jesus Christ, and simply want the church to be the best bride that she can be for her Lord.
Let's see what Anne has to say, listening in St. Louis. Anne, welcome.
Hi. I was wondering, I'm a relatively new Lutheran, and I know there's branches of the church that are kind of stepping more into liberal territory these days and maybe kind of interested in being somewhat charismatic wannabes. And I'm wondering if they respect these confessions equally, or are there parts of our denominations that do not as much anymore?
That's a very good question, Anne. Thank you very much. You said that the Lutheran confessions define who we are as Lutherans. Do all Lutherans take them that seriously?
I would say that all Lutherans would say they are defining documents. That would be a fair statement. And I would not want to accuse other churches of not holding that position. However, one needs to pick apart what that actually means. The large Lutheran church in America, called the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, regards them more as historical testimonies of what was believed then, but is not necessarily binding on us today. Hence, they have entered into a number of ecumenical agreements which compromise core statements of these confessions. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and other churches that share our confessional position regard these as true and correct expositions of the Word of God, and all of our pastors are pledged to teach in accordance with them precisely because they agree with the Word of God, not insofar as they do. If we took that pledge, we would be saying, well, it's up to me to decide where they do and where they don't. We all promise that this is the teaching of God's Word.
I mean, to Anne's question, is everybody keeping that promise as far as we can tell, to teach and conduct their ministry according to said confessions?
Well, pastors, maybe more so than others, confess we are poor, miserable sinners, and our human flesh is always tempting us not to, but to the extent that God allows us to stay steadfast in this word and confession, we do.
Why haven't many of our lay people, even within the pale of Lutheranism, heard of the Book of Concord, the Lutheran Confessions, or even something as simple as the Augsburg Confession? They used to put it on the names of churches.
Yeah. Todd, that's interesting. We did not rehearse this interview beforehand, but that is the most frequently asked question I get now when people say to me, oh, yeah, that Book of Concord that you guys did at Concordia Publishing House, why didn't we ever hear of this thing before? It's fantastic. And I was just speaking to a professor at the seminary, Jerry Eichmann, and I said, Jerry, you know, I don't want to speak in a way that's negative or derogatory towards pastors, but I'm trying to find a way to explain why haven't they heard about it? Because your pastor hasn't told you about it. And I honestly think many of us pastors believe this book is just too complicated for lay people, and I totally reject that. And the success of this edition of the Book of Concord has proven lay people will eat this stuff up if given a chance. We're over 66,000 copies of this book in distribution, which is, in the publishing world, is a remarkable thing for a book of this heft and density and the subject matter. People love it.
And the lay people, or at least my experience has been, they're starving to know what they believe and why they believe it.
Yeah. Just, you know, please tell us. We just want to know, what is it to be a Lutheran? Yes, I'm a Christian. Why am I a Lutheran? This is the book.
There's so much in the Augsburg Confession, and time does not permit us to go through everything in the Augsburg Confession. But you said before that the real beating heart of this confession, that the confessors were really intent upon communicating to the emperor and making confession of, were the notion of Christ, justification by grace through faith for Christ's sake alone, and what immediately follows it, I guess we could call it the means of grace or the office of the ministry. Why was that so important?
Well, if I was really pressed on the issue, I would say that Article 4, justification, is the real key, that our churches teach that people cannot be justified before God by their own strength, merits, or works. People are freely justified for Christ's sake through faith when they believe they are received into favor and that their sins are forgiven for Christ's sake. By his death, Christ made satisfaction for our sins. God counts this faith for righteousness in his sight. That is the absolute diamond in the whole Augsburg Confession. But I would also want to point out Article 7 on the church is really the first time in the history of the church that the church has been defined. You know, we talk about in the ancient creeds we believe in the Holy Christian Church, but here it's defined as a congregation of saints, people, in which the gospel is purely taught, the sacraments are rightly administered, and for true unity it is enough to agree about the doctrine of the gospel and the administration of the sacraments, not necessary that human traditions, rites, or ceremonies should be the same everywhere. As Paul says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. That is a beautiful definition of the church. That's the evangelical Magna Carta of the Augsburg Confession.
Is this why so many are able to at least superficially assent to something like the Augsburg Confession,
yes,
even though they would not want to have anything to do with the documents that follow it in the Lutheran Confession?
Yes, the Augsburg Confession of all the Lutheran confessions is the most widely confessed one throughout Lutheranism, and many Protestants also are able to say they agree with it, but there's a wrinkle. Philip Melanchthon, the author of this, a constant tinkerer like me, I mean, it's a good thing he didn't have a computer. He'd be changing everything constantly. In 1540 particularly, he made changes to the Augsburg Confession that were so serious in nature that they changed the doctrine of the Augsburg Confession. And it is that edition called the Variata, the one that's varied from the original, that John Calvin himself even subscribed.
So this is why you will hear people talk about the unaltered Augsburg Confession.
Exactly. In fact, if you go on many old German Lutheran churches, you'll see in German churches, you know, St. John Lutheran Church of the Unaltered Augsburg. Usually say St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church of the Unaltered Augsburg Confession. Now, there's a mouthful.
With only about a minute here, why doesn't the Augsburg Confession or even the rest of the Lutheran confessions deal with every topic of significance that Scripture gives to us doctrinally?
Well, that's a very good question. This is not like, for instance, the Roman Catholic Catechism of the Church, which is a fantastic book, but it's about 3 inches thick, and it deals with everything under the sun. These documents deal with these discrete issues that were very important in their day, that were really the heart of the controversy between Lutheranism and the Reformed Church on the one hand, Zwinglianism, Calvinism, and the Roman Church. And so they deal with the articles and the doctrines that were under controversy. The state of the controversy is a phrase that's used in the Formula of Concord particularly, where they deal just with the articles that were controversial. Now, having said that, they deal with a lot of doctrinal topics that are core to the Christian faith.
Someone says, you mentioned before it was irenic, it was peaceful, mm-hmm, in tone and kind of the olive branch,
right,
of the confessions. And yet there's stuff in there we believe, teach, and confess, we reject and condemn. Why is it important, with only 30 seconds, that when Christians make a public confession of faith to the world and to one another, that we not only say what we believe, but also what we reject and why?
Well, it's been said in the past that a church that cannot curse cannot bless. Sounds like a harsh statement, but when you think about it and think of Holy Scripture, St. Paul says, if anybody preaches a gospel different from the one I have, let him be accursed. Our church must reject error precisely for the sake of affirming the truth of God's love in Jesus Christ for us, keeping that pure, keeping that clear.
You had a website before that you had mentioned. I'm going to mention another one, but the one, mm-hmm, that you mentioned where you can actually go and click on links and read the Augsburg Confession and the other confessions of the Lutheran Confessions for yourself. What was it again?
It's www.bookofconcord, all one word, bookofconcord.org.
Well, Paul's going to be with us on the other side of the break. We're going to talk about St. Michael and all angels observed this day by the church. So he'll be with us. We want you to stay with us as well. You can find out more about the Lutheran Confessions. Just go to the on-demand page of our website tonight. IssueZTC.org, IssueZTC.org. You will find a link to Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions. Next week, what are we going to be talking about?
We are going to talk about the defense of the Augsburg Confession, the document that came afterwards.
But it's called the Apology. Does that mean we should think they were saying they were sorry?
No, that comes from the Greek word apologia, which means to defend or explain your faith.
All right, we'll be doing more explanation, more defense. That kind of fits with Issues, et cetera. Defending the faith, teaching the truth. Mm-hmm. Next week with Pastor Paul McCain. Pastor Paul McCain is publisher and executive director of editorial department at Concordia Publishing House, and he's general editor of Concordia, the Lutheran confession. Stay tuned through the break. Paul will stay with us here in studio. We're going to discuss St. Michael and all angels observed by the church on this day. We confess. This is what the church does. It confesses. This is how it lives. It breathes in the Word of God that teaches us the truth, and then we breathe out the confession. This is our great witness to the world that Christ has given for the church to make here in time for all eternity. When we come back, we'll talk about St. Michael and all angels.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Hey, Pat O'Brien!
Hey, it's a super fan. Guys, who do you like in the game?
You'll have a certain romp courtesy of a certain team known as the Bears.
The Bears!
That's all fine and well, but the Bears are not playing in the Super Bowl, okay?
Nah.
I don't think so. I think you're mistaken.
Dicka, Bears.
Who knows? You know, I mean, what Dicka was thinking, you know, when he kept the Bears out of the Super Bowl?
The Bears.
The Bears!